Don the Brass Talks, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. And yourself?
Yeah, it's cool, man. Wait, they got this thing that bothered me, right? You know, I realize that when you're getting in some of these stories, they ask you to sanitize your hand and temperature check, right? Nobody realizes they know that some stores ask you for your name, your address, and your telephone number, right? Somebody tell me that they went in a store and they even asked me for their ID. I was like, you serious? But I went in a store the other day and they asked me for my name, address, and telephone number. I asked the female to wear all this here, all this for contact tracing. She said, yes. I said, but how you get work this morning? She said, she gets bus. I said, so you give the conductor or the driver your name, your address, and your telephone number? She looked straight at me like if it was a ghost. You see where I'm coming from? She looked straight at me like if I'm a ghost. They getting transport board PSPs. They may doing it. But when people come in place now, we got to get their name, address, telephone number, and ID.
And where are you objecting to supplying that information, sir?
No, I'm not objecting to it. I'm saying it should be stored all across the board.
Yeah, but do you say, so you would like to see that play to buses as well?
All across the board, yes. You see how the call it, look at it. Contact tracing on a bus, right? And the time on a bus, it is so much closer. Like if you go in a store, and only two people in a store, you just walk out. But if you get in the bus, you sit down directly beside the people. If you understand, you more closer to get COVID on a bus than you go in a store. If you understand.
Right.
You could get corona quicker than
My advice to you is very simple. If someone asks you for information when you go into a store so that they can facilitate contact tracing, I think that you should just give them. Some people find it easier to ask for ID card than to ask the person's name. It may be a question of spelling or whatnot, or they may want to verify your identity. If you can ask, give them the ID card, give them. To me, sir, these are such simple things that I don't really understand why it has to be a talking point in a calling program.
But I just say, right? When the PSV start to do it, no one fret.
Well, I suspect the PSVs won't start to do it because the PSVs are now down to 60%. All right, sir?
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. This is Don DeBrass, that's 4341790. Good afternoon, Peter. Those small shops aren't going to break it down for 2 weeks. Closing the last shutdown in the year, but a shop in my area opened all hours and did as they like, late, etc. And it's Prime Minister Motley's constituency until one night they were closed down by the police. So from then, they played by the rules. Interesting. Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Peter. What some people seem to realize is that community spread before the village shops would have to stay open in the first lockdown, but now it's different going in. We have to take this thing seriously because people are dying, and I fully agree with the Prime Minister. Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham. Encloses a picture and there's a backdrop to it. Something happened this morning. I want to make the story short. I return home to see MTW digging a ditch to accommodate the sidewalk. The pipeline where it was disconnected. So I asked the MTW worker what's going to happen. The pipeline was very rude in his response. He wasn't helpful. So we had an exchange of words. So actually, BWA came and they're fixing the pipeline. The MTW was working on it. Now, I'm not sure what is going on, if there's any conspiracy, but how they left the pipeline, this should never be the case. The situation is in Kendall Hill, and there's no excuse for this. And they have sent me a picture of a broken pipeline, and the actual beta is broken off. And they were concerned about the situation. The person is saying, I wonder what the representative would think about it. My suggestion to you, sir, ma'am, or I think it's ma'am, yeah, is that you forwarded the email to the representative for the area. I don't know who the representative is, but whoever it is, you should be able to find that person's contact information in the newspaper, sorry, in the telephone book. Forward it to that person and see what they think about it. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. 4341790, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Mama. Yourself?
I'm good. I just want to pick up where you left off from Ainsley Bend. You talk about going into the bank. Mm-hmm. But it's a bigger problem than what you think. I normally get a wire transfer from New York every month to pay my utilities here because most of the companies here do not accept international credit cards. So when I do my wire transfer, I pay my bank in New York $35 for my wire transfer, and they transfer the money. But when the money gets here to the bank, they take about 3 to 4 weeks to put the money in the bank. So how am I supposed to survive? So what I have to do is go to a bank, take the money from my ATM, then go to First Caribbean and deposit the money. So I have to stand up online. Well, I know computers, and I know how to do my transaction. So why should I have to stand up online when I do a wire transfer from New York?
But I don't know, ma'am. I mean, that's not... But you're asking me, like, if that's a question I'm supposed to be able to answer.
But you were telling you say to him this morning that he knows better. He should not be standing up online to make a deposit. So what I'm telling you, I should not be standing up online when I make a wire transfer. My money should go from New York Bank straight to the bank here in Barbados. But apparently what the bank does is that they hold the money, don't put the money in until like 3 or 4 weeks later. How are people supposed to survive?
I don't even know that is the case, but what I'm saying to you is that the two situations are not comparable. You're saying that because you can't get your money transfer effectively done, that you have to move cash from another bank by way of an ATM to deposit at another bank? I don't understand it.
But what you're saying to him is, why is he standing up online? But why am I standing up online too?
Let me ask you this question. Why are you standing up online?
Because when my money transfer from New York should go from my New York bank to my bank in Barbados. I should not have to go online and stand up because the money should go right into the bank and I should be able to pay my bills from my checking account with that money.
Right. And why can't you?
Saying to you?
And why can't you?
Because they take forever to put the money in the bank, 3-4 weeks. The money should go into the bank.
Ma'am, let me ask you this question. Right, I understand that. But let me ask you this question. You say that you get the money then to pay these bills from where?
Then I have to go to the bank. But I have to, this has been happening to me for the past 3-4 months.
I know. Just answer the question. You got to get the money from where? Where you get the money from?
I have to go to a bank. Whatever bank, First Caribbean, wherever, and take up from my ATM from my New York bank. That's what I'm saying to you. I take the money from my New York bank and go to First Caribbean and put it in my checking account to pay my bills. Then it should not happen because I am paying my bank $35 in New York for wire transfer. So that's what I'm saying to you. It shouldn't happen.
When you go with your ATM card, come on, you're confusing yourself unnecessarily, you know.
No, I'm
right?
not.
Are you aware, ma'am, that the same process that you are doing, you can do online?
Well, that's what I'm doing. I do online, a wire transfer. It's online. I go online.
No, ma'am, you can do it on. You can pay the bills online.
How am I going to pay the bills online if there's no money in the account? Tell me.
But how do you get money into the account to pay the bills physically? That's what I'm not understanding.
Listen, you do not understand the process. And you need to talk to a lot of people who return from overseas, wherever they live, London, Canada, New York, wherever.
I'm
not the only one that have the problem because there's a lot of people from London that has this problem. And I don't understand.
I'm going to give you one better. I do not live in Barbados, right? I do not live in Barbados. I, however, pay water bill, light bill, telephone bill, everything in Barbados. I pay every month, right? And I pay at the same place I'm sitting down now in front of my computer.
But I don't leave home. I do that. But what I'm saying to you, how am I going to get the money comes from New York back down here to pay my bills in my bank? It goes from one bank to another.
But ma'am, what I'm trying to understand, well, it's clear that the money is coming from somewhere because you said that you can go and get it at the ATM.
Because they refuse to, when the money comes in, it comes in like 2 or 3 hours, but the bank here does not post it. They take about a month to post the money. So before you tell people about standing up online, you got to find out why people have to stand up online to deposit money. Because I should not be standing up online because I pay a bank $35 for wire transfer.
Ma'am, you are having a fundamental challenge here because Hensley Benz challenge. Hensley Benz has a local account that has money on it. Hensley said he goes into a bank and he cashes a check and then he takes cash and he pays bills. That's what Hensley Benz just told me.
But you cannot compare yourself to Hensley Benz because you have a completely different problem. But what you say to Hensley, why is he standing up online? He should be able to do it online.
But the point is that he can do it for me. All right. Ma'am, you are having a problem that I cannot help you with. Okay? You are having a problem. You are not the only person who receives transfers. I know people who receive transfers every month and they pay bills and they do business. There has to be an easier way for you to do it. I'm very sorry about the predicament, but I am not the person to speak to because I really can't help you any further. Hensley is having a different problem to the problem that you're having. Down to brass tacks. As this caller is telling me, if a person wants to take money from a bank at an ATM and line up inside the bank to make a deposit to another bank, there's really not a whole lot that I can say on behalf of that person. If you want to operate in a particular way, you have the right to operate in that way, and that's all I can say to persons like that. This is Dr. Brastatz. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good afternoon to you. Mr. Wickham, I think you opened a can of worms today over this bank issue.
I was trying to get on earlier when
Mr. Ben called. You made a statement to him about asking him. You asked him why he's standing up in the line going in the bank. And this is not the first time I hear you actually with this comment on the radio. So I wanted to call because I want to share a different view. And the lady just now brought one, but you tried to recover actually by making it two separate issues. There are two separate issues by any of the day. What it comes down to is that the banks are not operating where people can operate on the basis that you want them to operate on. Okay? So it's like this. Let me bring it to simple layman terms. You have this a construction worker. He goes to work for a firm. He opens an account at Fifth First Caribbean. But then he gets a check for Royal Bank. Can he take a Royal Bank check to First Caribbean and get the cash the same time? No, he can't. And there's a lot of people in this country that they work from week to week. They want the money. They get paid on Friday by check. And they want the money the same time. The bank's not operating and don't have the facilities where they can release money to persons like that the same time, Mr. Wickham. So if I get a check from a different bank and they take it to my bank, I got to wait 3 to 5 business days before I get that money. Isn't it so? Hello?
I'm listening to you, sir. I'm listening to you make your point.
I'm asking you the question.
Sir, can you just listen to me, please? Right?
I'm listening.
What I'm trying to find out is how is that situation similar to Hensley Benz?
I'm not saying it's similar or it's different.
If you are not saying it's similar, why are you saying I'm opening a can of worms?
I'm from a different perspective why people still have to go in the bank because you asked the question why are people still lining up outside the bank? I said to
Hensley, you are a perfect example of the problem because you are unnecessarily going into a bank to cash a check when you can do differently. That's what I said to him. There is absolutely no relationship between that problem and the problem you have just explained. But I don't understand why you are making it seem as though I have condemned everyone.
On the air, Mr. Wickham. It's not the first time.
Right. And sir, it's not the first time. It's also not the first time I have spoken to that issue because the last time around when it came, I was speaking to a lady who was receiving a pension and she said she receives her pension in her hand. She likes to get it in her hand and she likes to go and cash it at the bank so she can get the money the same time. Now, if you are in a situation where you can have your pension deposited to your account, so all you have to do is go with an ATM card and draw it off, but you prefer to go and stand up in front of a teller, what am I to say to you, sir? If that's how you want to do your business, go and do it that way.
I'm telling you, until the social partners in this country operate on a level that we can operate.
No. Sir, you know what you have to do? Sir, you know what you have to do? You have to be clear when you are calling to criticize me on this program. What are you calling to criticize me on? Right? You cannot bring that issue. But no, but then you bring that issue. But don't bring that issue and condemn me for speaking to Hensley in the way I spoke to him and for speaking to the lady with the pension in the way I spoke to her.
But I said to you...
Because you are confusing issues. Sir, the last time you heard me on that issue, when I was talking about the bank, it was another matter altogether. So I'm saying, if you want to raise a concern about banks dealing with you in a particular way, then you raise a separate concern. But don't come and tell me that that's anything that I have said to anyone, because it's frustrating, because you're confusing two issues.
What the lady was doing. What is frustrating, I understand everything that you're saying. What is frustrating is that I keep hearing, right? You made this comment before about where are people lining up to go into banks and stuff like that. And that's why I call this program today.
All right, fair enough. Thank you for calling, sir. Anything else?
Yes, I have something else I would like to add.
All right, you go ahead with it, please.
I can forget about the bank issue. Okay? What I want to say, I heard Mr. Auntie America call earlier. You said afterwards that he talks a lot of foolishness. There's a lady that called after Auntie America that was had her perspective on the whole thing about COVID and stuff. Now, I think that this program should be about the views of what people think, right? The call to hear their views, right? Everybody have their own perspective on COVID. I have mine, right? I understand it's a dangerous situation. I understand the circumstances of COVID right now, and everybody's looking at COVID. But what the lady said, the lady made a valid point when she said that a lot of people are getting sick and dying every day in this country and all over the world from a lot of different illnesses and such. But the whole focus right now is on COVID. I think it's more like a distraction. But and every time somebody calls this program with these views, I find that y'all cut them off because y'all don't want it to be aired on public because you answer where she's getting her information from, right? So maybe that's why you cut, because you don't. You probably think that she doesn't have reliable information, so you cut the call. But
sir, I wanna thank you, sir. I wanna thank you for the call, and I wanna thank you for sharing your views with the public. My understanding is that on this program, we are committed to not spreading misinformation. And as far as I am concerned, I have a difficulty when I feel that the program is being used as a forum to spread misinformation. This COVID thing is not a joke. This COVID thing is a serious matter, and it is not to be taken lightly. And I'm sorry if StarCom is unhappy with the fact that I am not entertaining conspiracy theorists, then StarCom can get someone else to do the program. Because you're not going to get past David with it. You're not going to get past Dennis with it. You're not going to get past me. I don't know about the others, right? I have grown tired of the program being used as a forum to spread misinformation. And I think that this is a time when we cannot afford spreading that misinformation. We cannot afford to spread misinformation. And I find that it is becoming a bit farcical, where particular callers are using it as a forum to throw stuff out there, and they believe that they have a right to be heard. But I'm sorry, not where I am concerned, not where Dennis is concerned, and from what I can see, not where David is concerned. As I said, I don't know how the others react to it, but I really have grown very tired of the misinformation. Now, in relation to this whole banking matter, I've gotten a WhatsApp message from a lady who is saying that the suggestion that the lady use her ATM card for Bank of America, apparently there's a $5 charge, and she can withdraw funds at any ATM, and she can pay her bills in Barbados, that she should forget about this transfer because the withdrawal is instant. It costs $5, and if the transfer is costing $35, then perhaps she's doing the wrong thing. So her problem is solved. As far as this issue with people having being paid by a check for one bank and cashing a check on another bank, this is a long-standing problem. If you deposit it through the ATM, you're going to have to wait some days to have it credited to your account. And that's an unfortunate reality. The only alternative is that you have to go into the bank and cash it. Now, that is a separate problem that has been with us from the beginning of time. There are some employers, or there's some employees, who choose to lodge their money at the same bank where they're open their account at the same bank where they're being paid, to avoid that problem, and that way you just get the ATM card and you get your money and so on. If you don't have that luxury, it can be a lot more challenging. The point has to be made, however, that the issue that I was speaking to Hensley Ben about this morning, the issue that I was speaking to the old lady who had a pension that she was receiving two checks and saying that she got to go and cash them and stand up in the bank are two separate issues. I lose patience when people call and condemn me for taking a position on electronic banking without appreciating the fact that the Hensleyman issue is a simple one of preferring to go and cash a check and do business on a cash basis, which is identical to the lady who was saying she prefers to cash her check and determine where she was going to put her money in that regard. All I can say is, if that's all you want to do it, that's all you're going to have to do it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. Welcome. Yes, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Is this Peter?
Yeah, this is Peter, yeah.
Okay, this is Kerry Simmons here, Peter. And
hey, Kerry, good to hear you.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank the station for giving me a couple of minutes to bring the public up to speed on a development. The national pause and closure of most businesses, as has been announced by the Prime Minister and scheduled for the 3rd of February to the 17th, is obviously going to negatively financially impact the number of small village shops and also the community of vendors, including food vendors and canteen operators, etc., in the island. And therefore, in an effort by government to render some financial assistance to these small business persons wherever possible, I am inviting the owners and operators of these businesses to contact the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. I am going to share with you an email address, commerce.smallbusiness@barbados.gov.bb, in order to provide the ministry with the name of the business, where a business name exists, the type of business we are talking about, the address of the owner, the telephone contact number or email address, and most importantly, some banking account information so that we can verify and begin the process of facilitating access to financial compensation. The reason why I'm beginning it this way, we're going to do this through a series of GIS blasts, but it is critically important, bearing in mind that tomorrow is Friday, and the sooner we start to have information and be able to process it, the better it will be, because the shutdown takes place on Wednesday. And ideally, we will want to be in a position where we could treat the perhaps not everybody, but the vast majority, before the shutdown takes place, as opposed to after. So it is for that reason that I am treading onto your program and asking for your indulgence.
No, I mean, Minister Simmons, you're welcome to come on anytime, especially on a day like this when so many of these issues have been raised. So I don't have a difficulty. So you're saying that government's position is still that these shops will be closed, but they will be compensated?
Yes. We're trying, right. Obviously, because it is very difficult to say compensation in equal amounts to what people may be able to earn on a day-by-day basis, but we are sensitive to the problem. If I could just go a little bit further, the reality is, with regard to the small shops, I understand the precedent was set last shutdown, but the circumstances now are, I think, materially different. The presence on the island of the UK variant, as it is called, this is a very highly infectious, a greater degree of problem is posed by the extent to which it is more contagious and spreads faster. And if you look at what has happened in England, has had some very severe consequences. It is for that reason that we need to reduce what the Prime Minister calls the footprint, but let's put it in language that everybody understands. Mm-hmm. We want to stop people from moving around, because every virus must have a host, and the human being is the host that the virus lives in. If I co-mingle with you and you co-mingle with your next-door neighbor, et cetera, then we continue to give the virus an opportunity to move from one human body to another. The reality of the village shops and the rum shops is that we tend to go to these places in an atmosphere of comfort and tend to let down your guard and spend a little bit too long and lime a little bit, et cetera, et cetera. And that is really what the difficulty is. But it is with the greatest reluctance that we have taken that decision. We want people to be able to access food. But even with regard to the supermarkets, you will realize that the supermarkets will be closed on Saturday and Sunday as well. It is just a question of allowing people to access necessities and move back home as quickly as possible. And to create any form of opportunity for people to gather and linger together more than is absolutely necessary is what we're trying to stamp out. And it's not difficult.
Yeah. All right. Minister, the other quick point that has come up a lot on this program is how exactly do people who are daily paid, you know, the person who braids here, who plaits here, the person who cleans somebody's house, how does that person who essentially relies on the output from their daily efforts to be able to go and buy small things? So they go to the shop with $60 and they say 30 is for sardines and so on. And, you know, how does that person operate over the 2-week shutdown?
And it is a good question. And I wish, Peter, I wish to God that I could give you the world's most perfect answer, but I cannot. I think that we have to bear in mind that there are provisions that were made before that still are available to Barbadians. For example, the Adopt the Family program, the work in the welfare department, etc. And people must reach out to these departments of government and try to make their own case for assistance. I don't think anybody's going to turn a deaf ear, but we need to know so that we can help wherever it is possible. I should also say, as will be announced very shortly formally, but let me just jump the gun a little bit. Care packages will be purchased by government and distributed across a wide cross-section of this community. I'm talking about literally thousands upon thousands of care packages. And the intention is not for government to distribute, but really for almost every social grouping to be able to, when I say social grouping, every you know what I mean, non-governmental organization to be able to assist in the process. So that, for example, we would be, I think the Prime Minister mentioned this as well, that we have approached the political parties outside of the government party in order to try to get their assistance in this process, the Household Mitigation Unit, Welfare Department, et cetera, et cetera. I think that during the course of the early part of next week, we will hear more about that. But it just is said now to help lower the temperature a little bit because it is a legitimate concern. But we have to try our best to be able to reach people without people going and moving about more than is necessary.
Okay. Minister, I appreciate very much this call, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, deep feelings with the public on these issues. I acknowledge that it's not easy, and I know I've been critical, certainly, of the supermarket and the other issue, but I also understand that, you know, there's no easy way to solve these problems. So I appreciate that people have heard some information on how compensation can be derived, and also that those of people who are having some challenges in terms of their daily survival, that there is assistance that they can access.
I just share with you that email address again. It's commerce.smallbusiness@barbados.gov.bb. commerce.smallbusiness@barbados.gov.bb. Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay. All right. Take care. All the best for you on the weekend. And I want to thank all of you for calling and making the program what it was. The time went very quickly. Special thanks also to Dennis Johnson. I look forward to being with you again in the not too distant future. Do take care. Until then. Bye-bye.